The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Foremost, though, I want to talk about our own global superstar, our own homegrown global superstar, one Katie Taylor. It is, if you can believe it, it's 10 years to the day since Katie won that famous gold medal in London 2012 in the boxing ring. Take a little listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner by a score of 10 points to 8 and the Olympic champion in the red corner representing Ireland, Katie Taylor!
Katie Taylor collapsed into the canvas in absolute delight. She has just been crowned the Olympic champion, the culmination of a lifetime of work. She learned the tenets of the noble art by copying her father Peter, who was giving her a hug over in that red corner. And the fans on hand here at the Excel Arena are in absolute rapture at the accomplishment their superstar has just achieved.
Yeah, that was the moment 10 years ago, this day exactly 10 years ago, when Katie Taylor won gold in the boxing ring at the London Olympics 2012. Ken Moore is a coach at St. Francis Boxing Club in Limerick. Ken, can you remember where you were watching that?
I can indeed. I was in Saltill in Galway. I was there for a couple of days with my wife and three kids, and it was a glorious day, much like today, I can remember that. And we went straight from the beach in Saltill across to the road to the bar. And the atmosphere was absolutely electric there. And, of course, she won. And when I heard the 10-8 score, I kind of knew, yeah, she has this. And then it announced the red corner, and the whole place went crazy. I can remember people spilled out onto the street in Salt Hill then as well, and the cars were beeping their horn. It was a fantastic afternoon.
Oh, it was. Were you nervous, Ken, given the amount of pressure that was on Katie to perform? I mean, there was an assumption amongst people who didn't really know an awful lot about boxing but knew all about Katie Taylor at this stage that, of course, she was going to win gold. It must have made some people who understood the sport and the vagaries of it, particularly judging at Olympic Games and things like this, which we've come to know more about since. You must have been a bit nervous, were you?
Oh, you're definitely nervous, yeah, especially against the Russian girl she beat in the final, a tremendous fighter as well. As you said, there was a bit of a homegrown thing about Katie, and, you know, people, you know, maybe thought she couldn't be beaten. But we all know that this Russian girl had beaten her previously. She'd given her toughest fight in her career, and it was a real, real tough fight and a brilliant Olympic final.
What was the impact, the immediate impact of Katie Taylor in gyms like your own and St. Francis Boxing Club?
I think the immediate impact was kind of, it was acceptance of female boxers, i.e., you know, all of a sudden mums and grannies and all that weren't as sceptical to leave their daughters go try to do the boxing, try their hand out at the amateur game. Before that, maybe there was a feeling that, you know, it was a bit rough and tough and it wasn't for girls, you know. But certainly after that, it certainly brought it more mainstream, and we saw a lot more young kids, especially young girls, being brought to the club, not by their dads, but by their mums and by their grannies.
And has that been maintained, that interest?
Maintained and surpassed, really. You know,
wow.
It really has. We've seen it all through the years, and you know, and Katie is a fantastic role model and all that. And of course, in the back, just last year, Kelly Harrington is another one. You know, so we've been blessed in Ireland to have these two fantastic fighters and two fantastic role models. But yeah, Katie kick-started it all, really.
Yeah, Kelly came along just at the right time, didn't she? Because if you remember back, and you'll remember this, Ken, like the late 80s, early 90s, and there were cycling clubs springing up and down the country because of, you know, Sean Kelly and Stephen Roach and their travails in the Tour de France and elsewhere. And then I suppose, in terms of kind of a marquee name, that there was no one for several years, and a lot of those clubs disappeared. So interest waned. It's just the nature of things that interest wanes. But having Kelly Harrington there and Kelly Harrington winning gold again, that means that, you know, interest is renewed and all those girls are going to keep coming back, and the next generation of girls.
That's exactly right, 100%. I mean, when girls are being brought down to the club and whatnot, you always hear whoever's bringing them saying, yeah, I think I've got the next Katie Taylor or the next Kelly Harrington. You know, so it's giving these girls, you know, icons to look toward. And, you know, even since then, we've two more new elite world champions, and Amy Broadhurst and Lisa O'Rourke. So these young girls have great role models to look up towards, and great success has been got from the Irish elite women's team.
And she's still something of a trailblazer. I mean, when you talk about the professional game as well, isn't she, Katie?
100%. I mean, some would even argue maybe even more so. I mean, her fight with Serrano was the first, you know, headline all-female bout in Madison Square Garden, you know, and was the first, you know, time that $1 million, you know, was the paycheck. So, yeah, absolutely trailblazing in the programme now, just as she did in the amateurs a few years back.
And, Ken, like, am I right in thinking there was a time when it looked like female boxing might not get over the line for the Olympics? There have been people pushing for it for some time, but Katie helped it get there.
It didn't help it. Katie got it there. We're looking back there. In 2008, it was mentioned for the Beijing Games. And to be honest, it wasn't given a fair shake. There was no way it was going to the Beijing Games. So then they asked maybe about the next cycle. And they were given a bit of lip service that maybe you could go to London in 2012. So what happened was, when the World Championship was on in Chicago at the end of 2007, Katie went over there and she fought an exhibition bout, a real bout as it was, with a Canadian, a really good, talented Canadian. But Katie was on top form that day. And the commission were just so blown away with her, and the public, they were so blown away by the talent that this young lady had. It wasn't even a question then. Boxing, female boxing, was definitely going to be in 2012 Olympics at three weight divisions. And the following cycle, it was another in Rio, it was still three weight divisions. In London last year, it was five weight divisions. And in Paris, they've set for six weight divisions for there. So I'll just show you the progress and the growth of women's boxing.
Yeah, and maybe, as you say, it mightn't have even gotten over the line without
absolutely not
Katie Taylor. I mean, great memories, I know, for people up and down the country. And for a lot of people, they're already texting in at 53106 to say, I've got it the wrong way around. Katie Taylor should be ahead of Serena Williams on that list of all-time great sports people, regardless of your own views. Absolutely subjective, of course it is, a question like that. I think we can all agree she is an icon in this country. Certainly, something of a kind of a theme to proceedings today, because on the day that Serena Williams happens to retire, and on the day that happens to be the anniversary of Katie Taylor's gold medal in the Olympic Games, we had Jack Chambers, the Minister of State with responsibility for sport, on News Talk Breakfast this morning, and he was talking about funding priorities from the government for 2023. And within that conversation, he touched on things like kind of gender balance and winter initiatives and diversity and inclusion and core funding. And he talked about governance as well, and the need to achieve a 40% gender balance on the boards of governing bodies, and that if that figure is not reached, funding may be withheld. Dr. Aoife Lane is with us. She's the head of Department of Sport and Health Sciences at the Technological University of the Shannon and founder of the Women's Gaelic Players Association. Aoife, I mean, we want to talk about where some of the shortcomings are and where the work needs to happen. But it's fair to say, is it, that you can't deny we're moving in the right direction?
Yeah, I think we have got an incredible amount of momentum. I'd often think we should do a chart over the last 20 or 30 years, because there's been some seminal moments, Katie being one, the women's rugby team when they won the Six Nations at that time, the Cork five in a row ladies football team, and now through to the women's soccer team, and obviously even at the weekend with the Camogie. So we have, and that's reflected then in Sport Ireland and in our leadership as well, right from the government down through the different governing bodies. Even if you look at it, we've got female leadership in Federation of Irish Sports, Sport Ireland, and the Olympic Council of Ireland, which, you know, they're all very important pointers as well. And we have Minister Martin and Minister Chambers very much, I think, backing progress and change. We have a dedicated women in sport leader in Sport Ireland, Nora Stapleton, who's fantastic. We have a Women in Sport board that advises them, that is some brilliant members. We have a Women in Sport funding programme, and obviously that has increased as well. And now over the last couple of years, we've some great output. We've got coaching reports, we've got reports on adolescent girls, we've got the gender and diversity on boards report and accountability there. So there has been incredible momentum, and I think that has possibly followed what's happened on the field of play in some respects, that, you know, the achievement of our athletes have really kind of propelled action in our leadership, and they've responded.
And where then are we still? Like, I mean, if the priorities are there, if the policies are there, the will is there, where are we still underserving women in sport?
Well, that's the one where you could go on all day, and it's a glass half full or glass half empty. But like, we are making incredible progress, but I'm from a team sport background, Gaelic Games, and the current report around the team sports, the big three, GAA, rugby and soccer, would be the membership on our boards are between 11 and 20%. So that's a good deal off the 40%, and it would be interesting to see those implications. So, and for me, I suppose what we've been doing is focusing on the board, the leadership, but I also think we need to go further and really take the tin off and do, I'd love to see a self-assessment of all national governing bodies. We do it in third level education through a programme called Athena Swan. And we really rigorously look at ourselves around equality, diversity and inclusion, our culture, our leadership, our overall staff profile, our pay. So I'd love to see that next step. To be fair to Minister Chambers this morning, he talked about working with governing bodies around developing action plans. So I think there might be potential there that we actually do scrutinise a little bit more. I'm a little bit worried we're looking at the top echelons and getting 40%, but what's happening underneath? And it's incredibly important that our representation goes from the top right.
Yeah, what do you mean by that? Like, I mean, what is underneath?
For me, for example, in Gaelic Games, you would have a board, I suppose, the leadership board, they're called the management committee. But underneath that, then you could have 20 national committees dealing with rules, with coaching and games. And then underneath that, you've provincial organisations, you've county organisations, you've club organisations. What is actually the representation of women and all that? How many women coach? In actual fact, we know. I think in Gaelic Games, our female coaches are 20%. You know, so that's what I mean about lifting the lid. I think if we really want that eventual cultural change, we have to go right through the systems of organizations
but even when
and make
you, when
sure
you,
we're going through.
Sorry, when you talk about that, though, you suggest that self-assessments, I mean, I kind of roll my eyes a little bit when somebody talks about self-assessment. Like, is there real value in that?
Well, I think with a
I put it this way, Aoife. I think I'm the greatest radio presenter on the planet, but I'm not sure that's worth anything.
Well, I think maybe I'm being a little bit casual in my language. I think what you would mean is you get a profile as such that you have to respond to. They do it all the time. National governing bodies report to Sport Ireland, so this would be an additional reporting that you report on. What's your representation of women in participation, in leadership, in coaching, in officiating, in your media, in your visibility, in your culture? As I said, we've got a really good version in third level, Athena Swan. If we don't hit the metrics in that, we don't get our research funding. You know, it's kind of a similar premise.
Yeah, well, listen, I suppose it's important to take advantage of the momentum when it's there. I do want to kind of strike a half full tone though, because we're talking about Katie Taylor and you mentioned the Camogie as well, and the crowds were absolutely huge in Kilkenny last night for the homecoming, which was brilliant to see, and I know that continues apace in my own club today. They're going to be heading out there as well, the Kilkenny Camogie team, and I know lots of people, including my own kids, are looking forward to it. Aoife, a pleasure, and thanks a million for joining us on the show. Dr. Aoife Lane is head of the Department of Sport and Health Sciences at the Technological University of the Shannon, and she's founder of the Women's Gaelic Players Association. Before Aoife, we spoke to Ken Moore as well, coach at the St. Francis Boxing Club in Limerick. Somebody just texted in to suggest that Martina Navratilova and Billie Jean King both trump Serena Williams as the greatest sportswoman of all time. I'm not sure about that. I mean, just on sheer numbers alone, Serena has more Grand Slams, doesn't she, than Martina? Five or six more. I don't know the numbers. I can check during the ad break. But certainly she has five or six more Grand Slams. I'm still plugging for Serena as the greatest female sports person of all time. If you agree or disagree, let me know. 53106.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.